the idea that it's healthy to be wrong and not worry about it. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have to explain how stupid that is. Because if you try to take that and put it into practice anywhere in the universe except for your religion, you find out how stupid it is very quickly. And no one does that. Nobody actually lives like that because it hurts way too much. You learn through pain not to repeat the mistake. It's just kind of the way it is. But then for some reason, largely I think pride and the belief that the prosperity or the seeming prosperity of the present evil age makes everything okay because we've become smarter than the ancient people or something like that just because we have electricity. That has caused people to believe that effectively God is not watching, God will not punish, God does not know what's going on. Oh man, what psalm was that yesterday? I was just looking at, you know, the fool says in his heart there is no God. That's a little bit later, somewhere around 12, 11, you know, that he says of himself, and this is the wicked, that God will never find out what's going on, that he's never going to bring this to bear. And that's effectively what she said. You know, I think it's great to do evil and not worry about it because there's no results in my life right now. So it's okay. Okay, so you have lived a short time on a very ancient rock, wherein we all who know the ancient story are aware that while God does not always send a punishment for sin immediately, see Ecclesiastes 8, he does eventually bring it all to bear, and the measuring line will be stretched out, and whatever you have measured out yourself is what you will be measured with. And if you're measuring out something like, it's good to be ignorant and do evil, then that's what's going to come back on your head. And ouch, yeah, it's a bad idea, but you know that already, right? You want me to give you something to help her. And there is more hope for a fool than for the lazy man, Proverbs says. Now, I don't know whether she's the lazy man or the fool. I only share that because there is then, therefore, some hope for a fool. However, there's not much hope for a fool. The simpleton, the one who is simply open and naive, can learn wisdom, but when confronted with it, like he has risen from the dead, as you've kind of shared with her, and they're like, oh, I've never had that thought. I much prefer the inner light and my ignorance. Okay, well, she's just shown she's not a simpleton. She is a fool, if not a hardened, lazy person. And in that case, again, there's no hope. So you love these people. You care about them. You want things to happen for them, but what is folly on our own part as Christians is to try to put hope in the salvation of those for whom there is no hope outside of radical repentance in Jesus Christ, which is his gift that he gives alone, which will come through your words of he is risen, right? And proclaiming the simple truth, but which you have no ability to manipulate. And so to tie your emotional hopes to that hope for the fool, that's its own kind of folly, right? What the Bible says instead is kind of back away a little bit. Right. Let folly tear her own house down and then be like, do you want some help now that you're on the ground in the dust? But until the house has been torn down, folly's like, I'm having a good time. You know, it is madness. That's Ecclesiastes again this past week in chapter 8. Right. Madness is in the hearts of men. Madness is in the hearts of men. We are so blind. I was going to pull up 1 John, but I don't have it for you there, Meredith. But 1 John, friendship with the world is hatred for God. We Christians have not paid nearly enough attention to this kind of stuff. The whole cosmos, the way of the world, the way in which mankind operates within the world, friendship with that, the assumption that it's okay and good, and ultimately that even comes down to a certain level of God bless America, it's all great here. That is hatred for God. To ask God to bless a country that kills its babies, that forces people to have their genetic codes altered, that's just a recent one, right? That enters wars all over the planet for the sake of its industrial military complex and has been doing so since before World War I. Bringing that down to like the personal level, right? In the same way, you don't pray for a blessing of the wicked. Pray for the wicked to be crushed on the rock, which is Christ, so that they repent and believe in Christ. Right? But that comes with the crushing. And any of us who is a Christian, there are those rare few who get to just grow up in Christianity and never have like some sort of fallen away challenge to it. But a grand majority of us, I would say, a good number of us at least, have run into the truth that it is confrontation with our own absolute wickedness that awakens the need, the wound, wherein we can see that the salve of Christ is what we need, right? And so pray for that first. Pray for that first. It's not up to us.